With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley here with my man Emmanuel Acho. Show the floor, print. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it is.
You know what it is.
Oh, carnations on the back. Gotta love this dude right here. Let's get it started. Russell Wilson, whose Seahawks offense is known for being more aggressive later in games in the last four seasons. Wilson is 12th in pass attempts during the first three quarters, but is third in the fourth and overtime. Russell said back in February that he wanted more freedom to just go after it on offense. That statement didn't change when Wilson spoke Thursday. Here's Mr. Unlimited himself.
At the end of the day, I want the ball in my hands. You know, I want to be able to make plays and give us a chance to win. And I think that doesn't always mean just me chucking around, but it does mean that, the more times I have the ball in my hands, the more things I think can happen. I think the defense worries about that too. Getting ahead is a key thing. You know, I definitely believe in finishing strong. I think we've won a lot of games in the fourth quarter and do some fun things in the fourth quarter and in the games. But, let's treat every quarter as the fourth, you know, and I think that's kind of my mentality always.
Aw, shucks. Shots fired. Acho, you okay with Russell Wilson being openly critical of the Seahawks offense?
I am, bro. Russ is calling his own number. But this happens in any relationship, even familial, bro. Remember, when you're young, maybe 8, 9, or 10, you wouldn't dare talk back to mom and pops.
Hell no.
Not in my household. Not Sonny and Christy Acho. You're not talking back to them.
I like it.
But you know, after you get a little older, about 16, 17,
they
yell, you say, what, mom? You start giving them a little bit more
little flex.
That's all Russ is doing. He's getting a little comfortable going on year 9 in the Seahawks offense. He's getting a little bit comfortable around Pete Carroll. Remember, they've given him the keys to everything. More than any other franchise, the Seahawks are dependent upon one player. I would argue more than the Chiefs and Mahomes, more than the Packers and Rodgers.
Okay.
The Seahawks are dependent upon one man,
that dude.
Russell Wilson.
Mr. Unlimited. Okay. All
and right. He knows that. I mean, think about this, though, bro. Beyond that, I think there's a little bit of Mahomes envy going on with Russ.
Definitely that.
Russ hasn't really accomplished single-handedly a lot. Here's what I mean.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's greatest accomplishment, the Super Bowl.
One.
The Super Bowl. But
the one he won or the one?
The one he won.
But he was carried by
his defense. Remember, Legion of Boom, Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, he's done a lot of great things for the Seahawks, a lot. But he has nothing to hang his hat on. Patrick Mahomes has an MVP. Lamar Jackson has an MVP. Russell Wilson doesn't yet have a single MVP vote. Guys like Carson Wentz have MVP votes.
Damn.
Guys like Prescott, Carr have MVP votes. But Russell Wilson doesn't even have an MVP vote.
Ooh.
So I think Russ is looking up after 9 years in his career saying, okay, I got a Super Bowl, but really people aren't going to give that to me. I don't have an individual accolade that I can really stake claim for of myself. You know what? It's time for me to be a little critical because I am that good. I am as good as anybody else in the National Football League. Let me remind not only my coaching staff, but the rest of the world.
Oh, God, I love this world today, because this world today will allow you to have the platform, the opportunity to speak your voice no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in an era where if you were in the back of the class, it probably meant something, that you weren't trying to pay attention to what was going on in the front of the class and on that chalkboard, not even whiteboard, chalkboard. And then social media came around and everybody said, I have a voice, even in the back of the class. Yeah, I don't know what the hell y'all talking about up there, but I'm gonna say something. And here's the one thing I want to remind all you millennials,
What you gonna remind?
That when you say something, don't forget there's something that could be said back.
That's fact.
And in this situation, I'm gonna talk from both stances. I'm with you, Russell Wilson. Damn it, I want an up-tempo offense. You know why? That's what everybody's doing, especially the ones who are out there succeeding. I want the ball in my hand. I'm a franchise quarterback. I'm a magician out there when I have the ball in my hand. And being respectful to even Patrick Mahomes, I don't think anybody's better than me. But I am PC. I am a corporate guy. I am going to say all the right things. But the hints have been plentiful.
to the point where now he is flexing. Mm-hmm. And I like to see that. Give me the ball. Up tempo. Stop running this damn USC 2006 Reggie Bush student body left offense. Like, this is the NFL 2020. But if I'm Pete Carroll, I'm like, you better be careful now. As you said, the defense kind of carried you. Our running game carries this team. Don't forget we had the number one rushing attack a couple years ago. Last year, we had three guys, and they all get hurt. We don't know what our formula looks like. So here's the full screen king.
Full screen king, baby. Full
screen king. Out here saying two things with one full screen. Russell Wilson, do you know what happens when y'all get a lead at halftime? 4+ points at half since 2012. Y'all haven't lost a game. Now, last time I checked, that could sound like to Russell Wilson, you know what? You give us the lead, put the ball in my hand in the fourth quarter, game's over. Mm-hmm. But if I'm Pete Carroll, I'm also sitting there saying, what usually happens when you have a lead going into the second half? Run the ball. Run the ball. Play calling kind of tilts which way? Run the ball. And then there's more evidence. Take the full screen away. It's time to talk some magic right here. 2017, I think even Pete Carroll may have heard, I got a franchise quarterback. Let me give him the most in terms of pass attempts mm-hmm. in his career. That was the only year Russell Wilson didn't win double digits in that season, 9-7. Every other year, 10+ wins. Yeah, go to Google. I hear a boy on your head.
He caught me.
Most attempts. Uh-oh, we have our worst record with you? Okay, that's fine. Oh, you had your worst completion percentage when we gave you the most attempts? Oh, you had your most interceptions when I did that? Attempts, interceptions, I get it. Point being, we didn't see the best Russell Wilson when the ball was in your hand. So be careful with this criticism.
Let me get in on this, bro. Mm. People still tweeting at me to this day because I went on another network show last year and I
another
said...
Another network?
I know.
They exist?
It's a curse word. It's okay. A curse word. I'm not going to say the four letters. I went on another network show last year and I said, Russell Wilson is best when he has a good running game. And people were like, oh, you still think Russell Wilson? Sorry. I said, no. I said, Russell Wilson is at his best when he has a good running game. The best position in football, contrary to common belief, is not the kicker. It's not the punter. It's the backup quarterback. Mm. Because the backup quarterback gets to chill and come in and save the day.
Same.
Russell Wilson, he gets to come in and save the day. That's what he has done since he's been in Seattle, particularly the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, they come in, they play the close games tight, and Russell Wilson in the fourth quarter, he saves the day. Russell Wilson gets to be the hero. There's a difference between getting to be the hero and being forced to be the hero. And Russell Wilson right now, he's trying to force himself to be the hero. He's saying, put the ball in my hands at all times. But like you said, the Seahawks have only had a top 10 passing offense once. That's not Pete Carroll's mantra. You said it, but I'm going to go into detail.
Let's go.
Russell Wilson's rookie year, 3rd rushing offense. Sophomore year, 4th rushing offense. Junior year in the NFL, that is. 1st rushing offense. 2018, 1st rushing offense. So Russell Wilson is the beneficiary of an incredible running game. You played defensive line. I played linebacker. I played against Russell Wilson. We came into the league together. I saw him in a Senior Bowl. When you have to worry not only about the running game, then you got to worry about Russ's running game on play action pass and Russ being able to be a pocket passer. Russ is incredibly lethal when he has all those. But when he's forced to be a passer, it changes things. Not saying he's not still a killer, but it just changes things. So Russ got to be careful, bro. He got to be careful what he's asking for.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And look, in the NFL, 97% of us are part of a system. And I don't make that statement like to slight any player, including myself. But you got to be in the right situation with the right personnel, with the right coaching, and everything has to come together for you to shine your brightest. And when I look at Russell Wilson, as amazing as he is, I'm like, I know he's fine, but how fine is he without makeup? How fine is he without that defense? How fine is he without that running game? And I think Pete Carroll, in his own quiet mind, is saying, I think I know. And I'm going to protect Russell Wilson to a degree. Russell wants to just ride around with no seatbelt, said, let me just push the whip. I can take us places. They did that once, and they didn't go places. So I don't know if Russell Wilson's going to get exactly what he wants going forward. Let's move on to a couple of other quarterbacks, Cam Newton and Tom Brady, both now playing on new teams in 2020. Brady took his talents to Tampa while Cam is occupying the spot Brady left behind in New England. My dog, Keyshawn Johnson, thinks the addition of Cam to the Patriots will open up the playbook even better than Brady, saying, quote,
is giving you an opportunity to do different things, because Tom Brady certainly does things differently and probably better than Cam Newton in certain situations. But I can almost guarantee you that Cam Newton does things way more superior at LA Public School than Tom Brady ever would. So, Acho, is this a crazy thing to say?
You said Keyshawn, your dog?
Yeah, LA Public School. That's
okay,
my dog.
Bet.
Uh-oh, you about to go snipe? Go snipe on a homie?
Here's the thing, bruh. Me and Keyshawn, this one I learned not to listen to Keyshawn, bruh. This one I learned.
What, when you first met him?
Nah. Oh. Yes. It was about 7 months ago.
Right.
Me and Keyshawn doing a show. And we talking about, well, Tom Brady's going to leave. Who are the Patriots going to bring in? And Keyshawn looked at me and said, listen to me, young butt.
Oh.
He said, listen to me, young butt. I know some things. Patriots going to bring in Mariota. Just watch. They going to sign Mariota. Oh. Just watch.
Mm.
And 3 weeks later, Mariota signs to go back up Derek Carr.
Mm.
That's when I said, just because you a first-round draft pick don't mean you a first-round analyst, okay?
Oh.
And I'm not buying what Keyshawn's saying here, coach. I'm not buying it. Ain't no way that Cam, in which I have expressed my affinity for.
Okay.
There is no way that Cam Newton is going to do superior things than Tom Brady ever would.
Really?
Unless we're talking about what he's doing in the weight room, right?
All
Cam
right.
Newton can probably bench more than Brady. He can probably squat more than Brady. But outside of non-field superior things,
what?
I'm not going to see it, bro.
What?
Like, and Cam is a beast. I've said that. Cam's highs are higher than most quarterbacks' highs. But Cam's lows and Cam's averages, coach, they can also be very low and very average. I'm selling that. I'm selling what Keyshawn said on that.
Oh, man. This is going to hurt because you my dog.
It's not going to hurt me. I promise y'all, it's not going to hurt me.
It's not going to hurt you? Okay, you my dog. But I don't understand. Look, you had a bad encounter with Keyshawn. You know, I don't know what happened. And
He told me a lie. He sold me a dream that I bought.
Yeah. Look, he usually is right, and you caught him on the wrong day. But you're usually right, and I'm catching you on the wrong day, too. Like, right now, you don't understand what Keyshawn is saying.
What's he saying?
What he's saying is one guy is going to be 43, and one guy is going to be 31. Mm-hmm. What he's saying is one guy has a talent base that led everyone to believe that he should be the first overall pick.
Facts.
Not 199th. One guy, when he walks on the field, you look and say, I could do more with that. And the other guy, you're like, oh, I'm limited, but I can get a lot and extract a lot from him. What you're making the mistake of doing is looking at their difference in talent base, but making the summation of what the production and the outcome's going to be. Let me break it down, because this is happening in our society. If everyone had an equal opportunity, then we can potentially have equal production. Hell no. If you told those guys right now, here's the play. And it's the same play. Who's going to throw that ball better? Cam Newton. If you say the play broke down that I just gave you, who's going to improvise and make something more out of that play that just broke down? Cam Newton. Now, if you want to get into moments where intangibles take over, poise, calm under pressure, we have too much of a resume of greatness from Brady that we are not going to respect Cam in those situations. In part, because Cam wasn't with a Belichick. In part, Cam wasn't with the organization and culture like this, in part because Cam Newton didn't have the same resources around him. So when you look at it, I know exactly where Keyshawn's coming from. It's a talent-based conversation that you're trying to now exaggerate.
See, you and Keyshawn must be sipping on that same drink.
That's my dog, though.
I must be sipping on that same
That's
toilet.
My dog, though.
Here's what I can't make sense of, bro. And what I hate is this is not going to turn into a Cam Newton bashing session because that is against my religion.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
It is against Sonny my religion.
Rays, you better
do
that.
He did. It is against my religion to bash Cam Newton.
All right.
But you have taught me one thing, sir. Facts.
Over feelings.
Over feelings. Oh. Cam Newton played 9 NFL
seasons. Oh, here
you go. No. 9 NFL seasons. My dog Cam, bro. He's posted a winning season in 3 of them 9.
Yeah.
In them same 9 seasons, Tom Brady averages 12. Yeah. Wins a season.
Mm.
It's only 16 games.
I'm not talking to you.
Okay? And so when I look at it, for Cam to do far more superior things, I'm looking at past to be an indicator of my future, right? Past as being an indicator of my future. When I look at what Tom Brady's past is, he has set the bar so high. Can Cam go ball in New England? Absolutely. But to do a superior thing, to do an equal thing, is to win a Super Bowl. So to do a superior thing is to do what? Is to do what?
That's the thing you're doing. Once again, you're making the summation. You're making a projection of how it's all going to add up. But what Keyshawn is doing, and I'm doing, is looking at each individual variable for what it is. That's a talent-based conversation. You have a coach, and he looks at two prospects. And one is a dynamic Adonis, and one is a statue. Mm-hmm. Which one are you inclined to say who gets the first rep? The dynamic player, right? Then you start to say, wow, he can move. Wow, he can throw. Wow, he is actually accurate when given the right coach. When North Turner got him, 68%.
So what superior thing then are you saying Cam can do that Tom wouldn't have done? Give me something.
I'm giving it to you right now. Every single play that you can call for Tom Brady, you can call for Cam Newton. But every play you call for Cam, you can't call for Tom Brady. Already you've opened up chapters in my playbook.
But that's a superior thing that I can call. That's not a superior thing that Cam can do.
But hold on. You're only basing Cam, and you're the king of this. I can't believe you're not even seeing your own issue. You're the king of telling me if that player was there, that player would be what?
That is true. I am king of that.
You're the king of that, right? If Cam Newton were the quarterback of the New England Patriots, you think that this would have been worse or as good?
Over the last 9 years? It's hard for me. As big a fan as I am of Cam, Marcello, it would be asinine for me to say everything that Tom Brady did over the last 9 years, which includes 5 Super Bowl appearances and 3 wins, that we can just sit here and say Cam would have done. That's a ludicrous statement, Coach. That's a ludicrous statement.
It's not ludicrous.
It is.
Because it's what we're imagining. And that's what Keyshawn is saying. He's like, imagine if you now, it's a reality. Imagine if you have Cam Newton and this much ability versus a guy with this much ability, but who has intangibles that we can't
measure. But this isn't a video game where you and I get to control Cam and get to control Tom, because Cam and Tom in reality have to control themselves. And what we have seen is Tom controls himself on the football field at an extremely high level.
Extreme.
I love Cam, but to sit here and say what Tom did, Cam could have easily done or will do superiorly, that's crazy, Coach.
It's not crazy if you just look at measurables. There are immeasurables, which we'll never know the answer to, so let's not have that show. Measurables. You can do things he can't do. You don't think that that gives you a better chance, leans you into a conversation of you might have a better outcome? Not saying what it's going to be. It's just I have more to work with, more toys to play with. That's all Keyshawn's saying, and I hope you understand that. Coming up, you might not recognize this guy, but he was the biggest story in the NFL yesterday. Oh, man.
Don't do it.
We'll tell you what he did next. Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
If you want to save money this summer, why not start paying less interest on your credit card balances? Refinance with a credit card consolation loan from LightStream. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. LightStream offers fixed-rate credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. That's lower than the average credit card interest of over 19% APR. LightStream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. The Speak for Yourself podcast is a big fan of LightStream. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Our listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/speak. That's LightStream.com/speak. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/speak for more information.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move to the Seahawks, who cut rookie Kima Sivirin for, get this, getting caught on video for trying to sneak a woman into the team's hotel. But that's not it. The woman was wearing Seahawks gear as a disguise that looked like a player. Go Hawks. Joined now by Fox NFL analyst LeVar Arrington. But Acho, I got to start with you. Does Sivirin deserve to get cut?
Absolutely not. We have this all wrong, okay? We are in the middle of a global pandemic. It gets lonely out there, okay? It gets lonely out there. And Kima, in the middle of training camp, one of the hardest things you will go through in life.
How hard?
He is a special teams player, probably 4th on the depth chart for the Seahawks. Probably number 1 on the depth chart of this young lady's heart.
How dare we create this narrative to say that Kima was being selfish? Remember this. Everybody has said this Kima Sivaram situation was dumb. A coach told me in college, he said, look, Acho, you can't win with too many smart guys. See, I was a smart guy. That's why my career was only 4 years in the NFL. I was too smart for my own good. I calculated all my decisions. Oh, my gosh, an offensive lineman. I might get a concussion. Let me not take him on. You need a guy like Kima who throws caution to the wind. He says, you know what? We have rules and regulations. Bump these rules and bump these regulations. Oh, if Kima says bump these rules in real life, when he gets on the field on special teams running down on kickoff like a wild boy, he's going to say, bump that wedge. I'm going to bust it. He got this all wrong. Busted. I respect Kima. He should have got a pay raise and a contract extension. He shouldn't have got cut.
Oh, man. I couldn't disagree more, but I was laughing hard on that one. And a lot of humble brags in there, too. I'm just letting you know. That's why your career was short? Okay, whatever. Look, I speak for all married men first, Kima. If you can't go a couple of days or a couple of weeks without it, don't get married, big dog. Let me just give you that word of advice. Here's the problem with this. This dude not only compromised everybody's health and safety, whatever, you know, compromising the bubble that they had, but worse, he doesn't even understand who he is and where he is. When you do things like this that risque, and I've done it at least a dozen times, I ain't gonna come up here and lie to y'all like most analysts, oh, I'm not squeaky clean in my past. I compromised curfew at times. Yes, I did, damn it. Snuck out, had friends on other floors in the hotel. Yeah, training camp, I had a couple of friends come in. Yeah, wearing gear from the team, yeah. Didn't get caught. You know why I didn't get caught? Because I knew who I was. I never pulled this stunt when I was a bubble player. I never pulled this stunt when I was a fringe player. I pulled it when I knew that even if I got caught, what you gonna do about it? You know who I am. I'm showing up every damn Sunday. And that's the thing about this. Look, players have done stuff like this since the beginning of football. But damn, in training camp, when you're an undrafted rookie in a pandemic, you need it that bad, bro, you gots to go. And not only go from the Seahawks, it's gonna be tough to pick him up anywhere.
Hypocrite Wiley. I mean Marcellus.
I told
Wiley.
The truth. I did it.
My bad. Yeah, but you condemning him based upon his status. The only problem here is he was an undrafted free agent rookie. Like
true.
That's but here's the problem with your logic here.
Talk to him, LeVar.
The man, he who is without sin, finish it for me, Acho.
Let him cast the first stone.
Oh, here goes Sonny
Yeah,
Son.
Yeah, and you casted a stone, Marcellus. And even though you would admit it and put your guilty admissions out there on the table for everyone,
he's still casting a stone.
I'll revisit my rookie year as well, okay? Because I'm putting the rock down.
But you were a superstar rookie. Don't do that.
He should not have been cut. And I'm going to tell you, look at, and maybe it was the culture of the place that I was in. People will kiki about that. But my rookie season, it was a who's who of people walking in and out of our hotel, office hours and off hours. So to me, I learned a lot. I saw a lot. I participated in a lot. I saw undrafted rookies participate a lot. I've seen a lot of guys participate in things that of this nature. Now, I want to point at this as a real reason as to why he should not have been let go. We see the reports of him trying to attempt to get a girl into what? The hotel. The hotel. That could be the front door, y'all. Like, we're not talking about the fellow was in the bedroom with the person or anything like that. It's a pandemic. Let's not jump to conclusions. You know what we're so quick to do? If that was his cousin?
Thank you.
What if that was his aunt? That was his mom? What if it was a sister friend?
You don't think they watched the video and asked him who was that?
But LeVar, let me pick up where you left off, LeVar.
It's not been reported.
Let me pick up where you left off, LeVar, because Marcellus is one of the most judgmental people
damn right.
We have ever met.
Oh, yeah, I agree to that.
She was wearing Seahawks gear. She was supporting the organization.
Hello.
She could have been wearing Rams gear.
It was free.
Could have been wearing Niners gear. Could have been wearing Cardinals gear.
Yeah, right. No team.
No team.
Wait a minute. But she came in
associated showing love to an organization that right now could use a couple more fans, Marcella. Right. So here's the other thing, bro. Right.
You talked about 12th man, you said, a 13th woman?
Yes. Yes. You said that, oh, well, what about COVID? You get tested right now every day. Even if there would have been a problem, Kima would have been tested first thing the next day, and they would have caught it right then and there.
So they would have took the temperature of the person coming in.
I can't believe y'all. First of all, Mr. LeVar, you are number two overall draft choice. So stop trying to put your situation on this situation. That's my point. You got to know who you are. And not only that, you sound Michael Jordan this in a sense of talking about how it was going down everywhere I was my rookie year. What's it next? You going to start saying names? Chill out, big dog. You were a superstar.
I can say the name.
When you hit the NFL, we knew who you were. That's why you got away with it. My rookie year, let me tell you what I did. Nothing like this. You know what I did witness, though? All of the veterans in the meeting rooms sleep. All the veterans showing up when they wanted to show up. All the veterans, we got full padded practices. They in sweats and T-shirts and hats. I'm like, there's different rules based on who you are. Man, Kima, I'm so sad that you had to learn this the hard way. But when you're undrafted, won't you just come in, be squeaky clean, get a reputation, a few stripes, a year or two like I did. All of a sudden, you know security very well. All of a sudden, you slide them a few stacks. And then they make sure that this can
happen.
Learn the game within the game if you're going to play the damn game.
While you are correct, you are incorrect with the lack of sympathy that is being exhibited. We all have exercised on the wrong side of caution and sensibility at times. And you want to know the worst time that it happens? During training camp. I've always appreciated the people extracurricularly in my life more in training camp, all right? Now, that's just what it is. But let me drop this one on you, right? Let me drop this one on you.
Here you go.
You made mention of it, that there's levels to this. Do you really think that sends a good message to the rest of your team to know that you would cut a man based off of these circumstances? Mm-hmm. And if it were Russell, if it was Bobby Wagner that did it, mm-hmm. if it was one of those guys, mm-hmm. you're not going to cut me.
It incentivizes every player to get to that Russell Bobby Wagner level.
No.
So you can have those perks.
That's bad leadership.
That's
what it does.
That's discrimination at its finest. Because here's what we know.
Football is discrimination.
Here's what we know.
What?
Deira would have just walked through the front door. She would have head nodded the security person and walked
bad
right
judgment.
Up. And
bad
that
leadership.
Is discrimination, Marcellus. And I can't believe you stand for that nonsense.
Hold on. First of all, nothing would have happened with Sierra going upstairs. My goodness. No, nobody's going there. Let's talk about the NFL discrimination. Y'all crazy. They discriminate by age in the NFL. Turn a certain age. Turn 30 at running back and see how we treat you and how we think about you. They discriminate by weight, height, by ability. Like, the whole premise of the NFL is discrimination. We trying to weed y'all out. And then once we get to a place where we could believe in your physical talents, what are you thinking between the ears? Oh, you don't know who you are. So if you don't know who you are, you don't have a role on this team. Because
those are acceptable measurables, though, Marcellus Wiley. That's acceptable. We all come into it knowing that. But if you get rid of me because of something else that other dudes are doing and you don't get rid of them as well, I don't buy that, man.
I guess we played in three different NFLs.
No, we played in the same era.
Bruce Arians says Tom Brady gets cussed out just like all the other Bucks. I guess he's lying like y'all are. Well, we'll tell you if you're buying it or not. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's talk Tom Brady, who has won 6 Super Bowls and has the most wins by any quarterback in NFL history. So when he got to Tampa Bay, red carpet was rolled out for him, right? Wrong. Not according to Bruce Arians, who said, quote, he gets cussed out like everybody else. He did a little bit yesterday because he likes to throw the ball in walkthroughs, and we don't throw the ball in walkthroughs, but not very bad. Joined once again by Squeaky Clean LeVar Arrington and Squeaky Clean Otto. Coming to you first. Are you buying Brady doesn't get special treatment with the Bucks?
Nah, I'm selling that, bro. I'm selling that like I did my umbrella when I got to L.A., okay? I ain't got no need for it.
It's time for me to be real with y'all, because, you know, last block I was on my jokes. But I'm going to jump to what Marcellus said last block.
Thanks.
You do get some special treatment for special guys and special organizations. When I was in Philly, we had a defensive tackle, Fletcher Cox. He a beast, okay? Mm. He can really get away with just about whatever. You know, the quarterbacks, they wear these special jerseys in practice, so you can't actually sack them. So defensive linemen on the side will sit there and yell, sack, whenever somebody gets close. Well, one time we had a rookie out there talking about sack. Mm. Chip Kelly, the head coach, must have turned around and said, if you don't shut up, Rook, I'll send you back to college. You see, you treat lower-level people differently than you treat higher-level people. Tom Brady is the highest-level person that there is in the game of football. There is no possible way that B.A., the head coach for the Bucs, is about to treat Tom Brady like he treats everybody else. It just don't make no sense.
Oh, look at us flip-flopping, because I am going to say he doesn't get special treatment. Now, you got to walk with
make
me
up
on
your
this.
Mind, Mark.
See, every this is what I do. I only have three gifts, and one of them is I actually answer questions. And I don't come in with an agenda. I don't bleed them over. In this situation, he's not getting special treatment. Let me break this down for you.
You're shooting shots.
I'm shooting shots. Here we go.
Go ahead.
Precedes you in any situation? Reputation precedes you. Not only does Tom Brady come in with the biggest, greatest reputation in NFL history, but a resume that supports that reputation. Now let's talk about Bruce Arians, who's sitting there saying, look, I don't even have a resume to even compete with a Bill Belichick, let alone a Tom Brady, who could take this locker room over. And I'm not saying he's going to take it in a bad direction. He's just going to take it from me. So I'm going to have to make sure there is a distance and difference in authority between me and Tom Brady. Now, this is why you really got to hone that one in. Because my boy, my dog, my former teammate is Tom Brady's offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich, who's calling the plays,
okay,
who was drafted after Tom Brady was already in the league, played a great career and retired, and is now calling the plays for that same Tom Brady who's playing. So when you're Bruce Arians and you're sitting there, and you know how they sit there in coach's office and they talk that raw, that real, they like, hey, as great as Brady is, he's in our world, our system. Don't forget, we were top offense last year. Don't forget, we're top three in points the last couple years. We need this to go our way. No slight to Tom Brady and his greatness, but we can't let this get out of control. So we got to treat him like everybody else.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Listen, that level of respect, that level of influence and control over the locker room and the players, you guys mentioned it. I wasn't even on this segment. But think about who has the largest ego on the team. Who did y'all say it was?
Coach,
you know what?
Coach,
check
coach.
It out. Check it out. Here's your own words. Here's your own words.
Here's what fans don't realize. Coaches are cockier than players.
Yeah, I give you that.
Where's my one shot?
I give you that.
Coaches are cockier than players.
They're an aggregate of all the egos in the room. Like, add all the egos up, coaches trump that.
Correct.
That's how they roll.
Ooh.
Acho. Anything?
I mean, do you want me to debate it from there, or
Acho.
Would you like me to fake up here? Is that a mic?
No. Okay. Boom. I'm going to pick up the mic in which they thought they dropped, and I'm going to conclude this nonsense that they thought they had won. Mm-hmm. Y'all said, is Bruce Arians going to give Tom Brady special treatment? Here's how I know he is. When Tom Brady got signed by the Bucs, they said, well, Bruce, what are you going to do with your offense? You know, you're a big arm offense, Bruce Arians. You like to throw the ball down the field. Tom Brady, he's a little older. Can he still do that? Bruce said, quote, we will probably meet in the middle. Bruce Arians has already said he's going to change his offense for Tom Brady, the GOAT. So how in the world would Bruce Arians not treat him differently if he's already treating his entire playbook? Don't sigh, Lamar. Catch your breath, Lamar.
Here's what I'm going to say to you. You're correct in the sense that he is going to get treated differently.
That's a question. Thank you. I'm correct. I won.
But to say special treatment is it's excessive. Mm. So even you will not see Tom Brady being treated any differently than any willing, deserving vet of any type of stature or standing on that team. That means veteran day. You don't have to practice with the way the other guys are practicing. You know, certain walkthroughs you don't have to go down to, certain meetings that you don't necessarily have to attend. And to this point, you know, when you think about when you start going down the road of giving someone like Tom Brady, who's new in town, but established and understood what his greatness is and value is, and you start acting all crazy like a fanboy or something like that, you run the risk of other players who have built equity up in that franchise feeling as though they should at least be treated the same way. Or there may be somewhat of a fallout from what they're feeling because, hey, I have been here in the trenches for you all this time, Bruce. Don't be sitting there jumping on this bandwagon when you got guys that have been grinding for you all along. I think it's a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. Bruce Arians is way too savvy of a coach to ever fall into that trap. And listen, for what it's worth, Tom Brady is too smart to fall into that trap. If he's treated like that special guy that gets special privileges, when Tom Brady goes to that huddle and has to have control and none of them coaches is there with him, he has to be the guy with the respect from those other guys in the locker room. Say fair play.
He's not preaching. He wasn't preaching.
No, he was preaching. Okay? Preaching hard.
The congregation left no offering.
He sounded like your daddy. He be up there preaching Sonny style, Bishop style.
Hey, the crip walking.
He don't even understand the difference because special treatment, no. Treated differently, yes.
Yes, right.
Put it this way. Giselle's getting into that hotel.
But our producer's about to cuss y'all out because the question said, are you buying Brady doesn't get special treatment? Yes. How y'all gonna move the field goal?
He doesn't get special treatment.
If you think that's moving it, let's put it right back in frame. Look at this frame right now. I see two fathers and one son. And this is why you don't understand what this means. Son? Because you don't have kids. Look, my kids don't get special treatment. They get treated differently, but they don't get special treatment. Only in isolation.
It's a semantic.
No, it's not.
It is to create a culture. It is very different.
I have to create a culture where they know the disciplines are uniform. But in private, hey, man,
You are not going to twist this word of you don't get special treatment, you get treated differently. Getting treated differently means getting special treatment. No. The definition of special, better, greater, or otherwise different from what is usual. So if you get treated differently, you were quite literally getting treated differently,
it's not
bro.
Special from the other
no.
people.
Go to break. Thank you. He don't know how to navigate life.
I'm so enjoying
Once you create
that.
Life, you'll know how to navigate it, damn it. Coming up, LeBron James just did something he's never done before, and the NBA world is saying he's not getting enough credit. I'll tell you why that's not true. Next.
All are wrong.
Speak for yourself, presented by Hyundai.
You're wrong.
We might have lost that argument, LeBron. Let's talk LeBron James, whose stacked resume includes 3 NBA titles and 4 MVP awards. Now he can add another crown. LeBron led the league in assists in a season for the first time in his career. All at 35 years old. Didn't let the moment pass without giving himself some credit on Twitter, too. Our own Tristan Thompson chimed in, also telling LeBron haters out there they better show some respect to his former teammate. Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Slick Rick the Buker. Acho, let's start with you. LeBron getting enough respect for what he did at 35 years old?
Bruh, absolutely not. Let me set some facts straight real quick. The beauty of coming into basketball as both a fan and now a basketball analyst is I had to really study the game, right? Some people that have been entrenched in it, you get a little bit lazy. But me, myself, during this pandemic, I had to really study the game. LeBron in his 16, now 17th year, this is the first year he's truly been listed as a point. This is the first year he's been listed as the true primary point for his team. So how do you, in your 17th season, now become the primary point and, just be the best point guard in the NBA, lead the NBA in assists? You know, I'm reminded of 1980, Magic Johnson, Game 6. Magic had to switch to play center in that closeout game because Kareem got hurt. And what happened? Slick the Rick, I'm sure you remember. They win, and everybody praises and lauds Magic for that moment. 42 points, 15 boards. 7 assists, switching positions for that one game to play center and dominate. LeBron switches and for an entire season dominates at the highest level. So is he getting enough credit, bruh? Ain't absolutely not.
Ooh, strong.
Okay, so Acho, I feel bad because you've been getting beat up for your age on the show so far. And yeah, I hate to continue
should.
That
you
trend.
Should. You should feel bad. You should.
I guess I'm going to have to. First of all, I can't show him any more respect than I have. He was at the top of my MVP ballot ahead of the guy who's the defending MVP. So I don't know what more I can show him. I've given him credit for the fact that the Lakers had the number one seed in the Western Conference and the second best record in the league. But this is what I also don't understand. And this is where my criticism of LeBron comes in. Dude, you are so much bigger than this. Mm. Russ Westbrook led the league in assists the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. James Harden did it before that. Rajon Rondo did it in Sacramento. These are small potatoes for a guy who's supposed to be all about championships and MVPs.
It's not small potatoes.
You guys happen to know who is the oldest player to ever have the scoring record for a season?
Come on.
That would be Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Now, I know we're in a different age, and we have social media now. And so Michael Jordan didn't have the opportunity to toot his horn. But can you, even if he did?
He just tooted his whole horn for about 8 hours.
We watched a lot of tooting.
We watched all of it. I'll just toot, toot.
And in all that time, did we ever hear Michael Jordan talk about, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I was the oldest player to ever win a scoring title in my last season with the Chicago Bulls. You never heard that because that was beneath him to talk about a scoring title.
Slick is one of those.
We're talking about championships. We're talking about resuming what the Lakers have been.
This is when I call on my big brother to go get him.
Yeah. Ooh, Slick. I'm with you, kinda. I don't even know where I am. I'm just gonna tell you what I'm thinking right now. This is crazy. I think LeBron is getting enough respect. I can even make a better case that he's getting too much respect to the point where people like Slick Rick DeBuecher are making him the MVP in a year where the MVP from last year had a better year and his team is having a better year. But I digress. I don't understand. Look, he's getting his respect, but let's not go too far with this. I don't understand why the birth certificate and the age keeps coming up in this conversation. Can y'all stop? No. When you cross the white lines in basketball, you got your tank top, you got your undie on, you got your shorts, you got your shoes. You got to leave your birth certificate on the sidelines. You can't bring that on there. I don't give a damn how old you are. You could be a rookie at 19 and you could be an old man at 35. I'm trying to give you the business. Now, here's my real question, Slick Rick. How can you be the MVP of the league if you're not even potentially the MVP of your team? Full screen king time. I'm looking at the categories. There are 8 categories listed here.
Yeah.
6 of those categories, LeBron James is losing to his own teammate statistically. 6.
What is going on?
Not like 4-4. Not like 5-3.
Marcellus is supposed to be on my side.
So my point is, not only is he getting enough respect, he's getting so much respect that we're going to start exaggerating what we're giving him.
Let me take this argument back into its rightful ownership, which is mine. Okay? let me do that. Slick, you cannot punish LeBron for living in an age of social media that the Michael Jeffrey Jordans of the world didn't live in. So you're just going to assume that Jordan, probably the cockiest athlete of all time, wouldn't have tweeted his own horn or self-advertised, Slick. You're killing Bron. Go ahead, Slick. Go ahead.
Not for a scoring title.
Slick, the difference
that's
is
the distinction.
But LeBron is all... Bruh.
He's an award.
LeBron...
What are we...
That's interesting.
No, it's not interesting. It's the least interesting thing I've ever heard. LeBron has already given you 25 points per game for 16 straight seasons. So he's like, you know what, y'all? I've already dominated that at the highest level. Y'all ain't never seen that done before. I've done that. Great, check. But what I haven't shown y'all is that I can lead the league in assists. So now that I've checked that box too, I'm just going to go ahead and put this big check here and say, oh, bet, y'all got that one too. You can't act like this is a small accomplishment because for LeBron, he just gave you plus 10 assists for the first time in his career in year 17. For LeBron, that's a big deal. Check.
This is like whack-a-mole. First of all, superstars, the definition of superstars is that they don't get their numbers, they get other guys' numbers. That's why AD has the numbers that he has. And when you are an all-time great, you don't talk about regular season award.
That's you just make a whole documentary about it, a whole 10-part documentary about it.
Oh, man, bring it up, guys. Ding, 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 coming up. I'm a little nervous, I ain't gonna lie.
Gonna ask Uncle Jimmy for his thoughts on the Seahawks player trying to sneak a lady into his hotel. Uh-oh, this could get ugly. Next! Oh, man. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Seahawks cut rookie Kima Sivirin, who was caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team's hotel while she was wearing Seahawks gear to look like a player. Well, that's pretty wild. So we have Uncle Jimmy to act on this one. What's your reaction to Big Dog tripping?
For real? For real.
Yeah.
We're going to kick this out the NFL for his love of a perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
You kicking him out the NFL.
I am.
For his love of a woman that has an abundance of belly.
Belly meat? What do you mean?
See what I'm saying, man? Look.
No.
How you gonna do this? This brother is a walk-on rookie free agent.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
What?
That means that the jock handler got a better chance of making the team than he.
Now,
all of this is, truthfully though, man, look, this is just a case of a... What you call it? A fantasy, a role play gone wrong.
A what?
This is a role play gone. See, let me ask you. Nobody ever said that she was a player. The security guard actually said that she looked like a Seattle Seahawks offensive lineman. He just didn't know which one it was. Now, that's what really...